Like to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. 11th chapter, of course, is known as the faith chapter. It is a chapter that illustrates the power of faith. Back in Hebrews 10 and verse 38, there's a very plain and direct statement, the just or the justified shall live by faith. Those very same words we find in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, Romans 1, 17, and also in Galatians 3, verse 11. It is a fact. The just shall live by faith. You notice it's worded, shall live, indicating that it's not just merely a one-time act, but it is a continual and growing, ongoing activity. In other words, it's a habit of life. The just shall live by faith. And that is the root of the Christian life. And the writer of Hebrews continues this thought of faith throughout chapter 11. The word faith occurs 24 times in the chapter. The phrase by faith occurs 16 times. And the phrase through faith occurs 5 times. So those simple prepositions, by and through, speak of faith as the means or the cause of an act. In other words, faith is a source of activity. It is alive. It works. It's productive. By faith, through faith, presents faith as something that's energetic, vigorous. It's a force. It's a power that regulates our life. And throughout the chapter, there are several individuals mentioned who by and through faith did great things, most of them under extremely difficult circumstances. Throughout the chapter, we see the sacrifice of faith in Abel. We see the walk of faith in Enoch. We see the work of faith in Noah. We see the obedience of faith in Abraham, and on it goes. But again, the just shall live by faith. And it is in this 11th chapter that we get further details concerning this life of faith. To live by faith is really a great privilege. It's a wonderful life to live by faith. As you read this 11th chapter, you can view faith from different angles, and you can see it in varied aspects. We view faith in the different trials that are presented here in Hebrews chapter 11, to which faith was subject. And we see the triumph which faith achieves here throughout the 11th chapter. Tonight we want to just read the 8th verse, Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. So our attention is brought to the faith of Abraham. Now, Abraham, just like everyone else in this chapter, his faith was not perfect. But he did have faith. If you know anything about Abraham's history, we know there were times when he did not exercise much faith. But overall, Abraham's life was marked by faith. And what we read here in Hebrews 11, verse 8, goes back to Genesis 12. And it is referenced in Acts chapter 7. But we want to develop the thought of the message around the words, obeyed and went out, notice, not knowing. Not knowing whither he went. Not knowing. He obeyed, he went out, not knowing. We want to speak on the subject of not knowing why, what, where, but whom. And that's the faith that we need. We can read it this way. By faith, Abraham obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. It reveals a wonderful character of faith. Before we look at this faith, we need to get a little bit of background of the book of Hebrews. We need to see the characteristics of the book because faith is in the context of the book of Hebrews. The setting of the book of Hebrews, of course, is the children of God, Jewish people, surrounded by unbelievers, surrounded by the influence of unbelievers. These children of God had witnessed and were currently witnessing many depart from their profession of faith in Christ and return back to the old ways of Judaism. And in addition, they were being heavily persecuted by their kinsmen and by Rome. And due to these circumstances, there were many dangers, and that is indicated by the word lest, used 11 times in the book. The word lest is a word of warning. And we see several things attached to the word lest in the book of Hebrews. There was the danger of drifting from the things which they had heard. There were the dangers of disbelieving the voice of God and coming short of the promises of God, against leaving the elementary principles of the faith and thinking lightly of the truth and drawing back from God. And there's warning against fainting in their minds, against becoming discouraged and spiritually drained, and against departing from the way of God. So it is in this setting, these dangers, that the subject of faith is addressed. We also see the purpose of the book. In light of the circumstances, the writer of Hebrews writes to stimulate God's people, to embolden God's people, to persevere in the life that God had called them to live. 13 times, the writer uses the words, let us, followed by a particular duty of the life that we are called to live. He says, let us fear, let us labor, let us hold fast our profession. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let us go on. Let us draw near. Let us consider one another. Let us lay aside every weight. Let us run. Let us have grace to go forth. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise. So that those two words, let us, present tense, conveying the idea of continuance, progression. So the purpose of the book is to admonish, to exhort, to motivate, to stimulate, and to encourage the child of God not to lose heart, but to be always advancing spiritually. And again, it's in this light that the subject of faith is addressed. In other words, if we're going to do all of those things, it requires faith. We see also the theme of the book. Really, the purpose of the book establishes the theme, which is the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the main feature and focal point of the book. And to emphasize this, there is the repeated usage of the word better. And that's always used with regard to Christ in Hebrews. Again, the thought is used as a motivator to keep advancing toward Christ, because everything in Christ is better. Everything about Christ is better. So again, the theme of the book leads into the subject of faith. We see also the book reveals the nature of the life that we are to live. To emphasize the nature of the life that we are called to live, 11 times throughout the book, the writer uses the word heaven or heavenly. So we see that the theme of the life that we are called to live is Jesus Christ. And the nature of the life that we are called to live is heavenly. And again, this necessitates faith. So putting all that together, you come to the 11th chapter, leading into the 11th chapter, concerning the subject of faith. In Hebrews 10, verse 35, there is an exhortation. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And then in verse 36 of chapter 10, there is a declaration of need. For you have need of patience. The word patience is simply endurance. You have need of endurance, which is necessary to fulfill the exhortation of verse 35. And this is followed in verse 37, by a promise, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Followed by a declaration of fact. Now. The word now here in this way is used to draw attention to a particular statement. The statement being the just, the justified, shall live by faith. And then the writer just continues this thought of faith through chapter 11, where he makes use of such by way of encouragement to press on. If all these saints of God, by faith and through faith, accomplish great things, that applies to you and I. It's by faith, through faith. They must, what the writer is telling these Hebrew children of God is, you must possess faith. You must live by faith. That is the only way that you can live this life that we are called to live. So let's look at this faith. First of all, faith is not merely positive thinking. Faith will lead you to think positively, no question. But don't mistake mere positive thinking for faith. Faith is more than a hunch that is followed. Well, I've got a hunch. Well, faith is more than just a hunch. I got a feeling. Faith is more than that. Faith is more than hoping for the best. You can hope for the best, that that doesn't necessarily mean that you have faith. Faith is more than a feeling of optimism, though I do believe that faith will cause one to be optimistic. But faith is more than just a feeling of optimism. What we're talking about is something that is supernatural. It's not something that we are trained to have. It's not self-produced. Try that sometime. Well, I just want more faith. And try to give yourself more faith. It doesn't work. It's not self-produced. Nor is it the product of anyone else. It's not the product of any religious institution. Faith comes from God. God is the only one who can give faith. It is a gift. It's a gift from God. No one is saved without faith. We see, and then we are to live this life by and through faith. Faith is described by what it is. We've looked at this many times, but in Hebrews 11, verse 1, it is defined in a twofold way. It says, faith is. So when I read those two words, faith is, I know I'm about to get a definition. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What does that mean? Well, substance is material. Something you can see. It's reality. Conveys the idea of solidity and density. Conveys the idea of meaningfulness and significance. Faith is the substance. Faith gives substance. The other part of the definition is faith is the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is proof. Faith is the evidence. Faith is the proof of things not seen. We don't have to prove to a non-believer, to an unbeliever, creation. Faith is the evidence. Faith is the proof. If they don't have faith, they don't have the proof. It's just like you and I do not have to prove God. The Bible does not try to prove God. It begins with a simple fact. In the beginning, God. What is the proof of that? Faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. We see also this faith is described by what it does. Faith does something. And in the definition, we see what faith does. Again, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith makes the spiritual, the invisible, to an individual material. It makes the spiritual material. It makes the spiritual real. Faith substantiates. Faith causes the spiritual to be a present reality to an individual. Faith causes the spiritual to have meaning and to have significance to an individual. Faith is standing upon the spiritual. It's substance. It's something you can stand on. Faith is the substance. You can stand upon faith. Faith enables an individual to lay hold of spiritual matters, to lay hold of the invisible. Faith gives the objects of hope present and actual being to the heart. Faith is the substance. So that's what it does. Faith also is the evidence of things not seen. What does faith do? It furnishes proof. It furnishes proof. It demonstrates the invisible. So much so that it makes us assured of the reality and certainty of spiritual matters. Faith convinces. Faith convinces. You read a verse of Scripture and you believe it. Faith convinces you this is the truth. Faith gives reality to the invisible. So again, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Enables the mind to see the truth. In other words, faith does not look upon spiritual facts coldly, but faith makes spiritual facts lively and real to the individual. In verse 2, for by it, what's the it refer to? Faith. So you could read that, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. That is, faith caused them to be witnessed of an honorable testimony. Verse 3, we read that through faith, we understand. So what does faith do? Faith gives us the ability to grasp, to lay hold of spiritual matters, to apprehend spiritual matters, to recognize and to know spiritual things. Notice verse 6. He that cometh to God must believe. Believe here is faith. So faith enables one to come to God. You can't come to God without faith. Faith enables us to come to God, which implies, of course, a sense of His presence. Faith enables us to come to God. We also see there from verse 6 that faith will diligently seek Him. Faith seeks God. Faith is always seeking God. Faith is always looking to God. Faith pursues God. Faith causes one to have a personal desire for God. Faith causes one to have their attention upon God, to have a preference for God. Faith causes one to have an obsession with God, a passion for God, a fervor and an appetite for God. In those words, diligently seek Him. It's faith that causes us to do that. There is a personal conviction. To diligently pursue Him, you have to be personally convicted that He is. There's a personal determination. Diligently seek Him. And there's a single-mindedness toward God. So we see what faith is. We see what faith does. This faith consists of knowing God. You can't know God without faith. It's impossible. God is invisible. God is spirit. You can't know Him without faith. Our text speaks of God's call to Abraham, which takes us back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land. Didn't tell him where, but unto a land that I will show thee. Well, when are you going to show it to me? In my time. Well, what's it going to look like? You don't need to know. Why? You don't need to know. You get to the land, I will show thee. In Acts 7, verses 2 and 3, we see references made to this. And he said, Men and brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charran. And said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Now all we read in Genesis 12 is that God called Abraham. But here in Acts chapter 7, we're given a little bit more detail. It says, The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham and said unto him. So it was more than just God speaking. It was God appearing and speaking. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham and said unto him. When the God of glory appeared unto Abraham, God was a living reality to Abraham. He could see him. And he could hear him. So we're told in our text, Hebrews 11, verse 8, that Abraham obeyed and went out not knowing whither he went. Not knowing whither he went. So if you were to stop Abraham's caravan and ask, Whence do you come? He would answer, From the land of Mesopotamia. And if you were to ask, Where are you going? He would answer, I don't know. But I'm going to a land that I am to receive as an inheritance. I don't know where it is. I don't know what it is. But that's where I'm going. Next would come the question, Who told you that? And Abraham would say, or the question might be, What do you base that upon? And Abraham would simply reply, God. That's all you need. The Lord. Many times, again, he went out not knowing whither he went. Many times, we don't know why. We don't know what. And we do not know where. And we don't have to know why, and we don't have to know what, and we don't have to know where. What we need to know is whom. Who told us to go? That's all we need, is to know whom. People spend an awful lot of time and an awful lot of energy seeking to know the why. The what and the where. But we don't always know. God doesn't always tell us why. God doesn't always tell us what. And God doesn't always tell us where. And if God doesn't tell us, we don't need to know. But we need to know whom. We need to know the one who tells us. That's faith. Our lives are not based, or they shouldn't be, based upon why, what, or where, but simply upon whom. Children ask all the time until they grow up, why? They'll drive you nuts. Why? Where are we going? God's people are no different. God tells them to do something. Why? What? Where? All you need to know is whom. The one who tells you. That's faith. In verse 6, notice we must believe. That's faith. What must we believe? That He is. Faith is whom? Faith doesn't have to know why. Faith doesn't have to know what. Faith doesn't have to know where. We believe who He is. It's whom. So faith recognizes and acknowledges that God is. That's all we need. And faith is absolutely persuaded and convinced that God is what He is. Faith has assurance in the person of God. You may not know why, but you need to have assurance in God. You may not know what, you may not know where, but you need to have assurance in God. That's faith. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able. Where's the faith? The faith is in Him. In Him. It's in whom. To be persuaded is to have assurance, it's to have confidence. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is. It is to be assured in confidence in spite of what appears to be contrary. Faith is assurance and confidence in what we know of God. Again, we may not know why. We may not know what. We may not know where. Nor do we always need to know. If you need to know why, God will tell you why. If you need to know what, God will tell you what. If you need to know where, God will tell you where. But you don't always need to know. But you do always need to know whom. That's where our faith is. That's where faith is grounded. In whom? Faith is not in the promises. You hear people all the time say, I have faith in the promises of God. Well, let me tell you something. A promise is no better than the one who gives the promise. The promises of God's Word are wonderful. But you don't put your faith in the promise. You put your faith in the one who gave the promise. Notice Hebrews 13, verse 5. He hath said, that's God, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Then notice verse 6. So, stating a reason for something. So that we may boldly say. So here it is. He hath said, so that we may boldly say. He said it, we may have assurance because He said it. That's faith. We don't need any other proof. God said it. That's all we need. And that's what we place our faith in. The faith is in whom hath spoken. Not what is spoken, but in whom. Again, I may not know why. A lot of things, most things, God doesn't tell us why. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? If you needed to know, God would tell you. You have to have faith. Well, I've got to know why. I can't go on unless I know why. It's because you don't have faith. Faith doesn't need to know why. Faith knows whom. Well, what's going to happen? I got to know. I can't go on unless I know what's going to happen. Well, you never know what's going to happen. You may think you do, but you never know what's going to happen. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou don't knowest not what a day may bring it forth. You don't need to know what. You need to know Him. You need to believe Him. Well, where? He went out not knowing whither he went. Why did he do that? Because he believed the one who spoke the word. That's faith. That's faith. And again, Paul said, I know whom. I know the one who is sovereign. I know the one who is invincible. I know the one who is the Most High. I know the one who is immutable and almighty. I know the one who is present. I know the one who knows all things. I know the one who's merciful, gracious, and faithful. And faith acts upon who you know. Who you know. Not necessarily what you know, but whom you know. Do we know? Do we know whom? Do we live our lives based upon Him? Do we act upon who we know? We know God. We know God by faith. Do we act upon who we know? Do we live our lives based upon who we know? That's faith. That's living by faith. Things may look contrary, but it doesn't change who you know. God. Faith trusts, relies, and rests on whom? Not necessarily on the Word, but on whom? And faith can rest on this because faith teaches us that yes, by appearance, it doesn't look like it's so. But I know you. And I know it is. Again, faith is based in whom? Faith lays hold of whom? There are times in your life, everything seems to run contrary to everything you've been taught. And faith needs something to lay hold of. What does faith lay hold of? Him. Lays hold of whom? Because there are times you're not going to be able to lay hold of why, because you don't know why. There are going to be times you can't lay hold of what, because you don't know. And there are going to be times where you can't lay hold of where, because you don't know where you're going. But faith lays hold of Him. Faith is in Him. Faith sees God. Things don't always look like this book declares them to be. But faith is able to see through all that and see God. Faith knows God. Faith is convinced of God. Faith assents submits to God. Faith anticipates God. God said He would do such and such. Faith anticipates what God says. That's faith. Everything around you may speak contrary, but faith lays hold of and anticipates God. How much we see God, and we need to ask ourselves that question. How much of God do I see? When everything's falling apart, how much of God do you see? Well, all I can see is my circumstances. Then you don't have faith. Faith looks beyond circumstances. Faith doesn't even question. Doesn't even question God. How much we know God? How much we believe God? I ask myself that often. Just how much do I believe God? How much we anticipate God? How much we come to God? How much we lay hold of and embrace God? How much we lean upon God? How much we rely and rest upon God? All of that depends upon the extent, the intensity, and the prominence and the influence of faith in our life. Have to have faith. As you read through Hebrews 11, you see illustrated a faith in whom? A faith in God. And this faith in God is not dormant. This faith in God has an energy about it. It will propel you forth. This faith in God has a vibrancy and a force. It's a power that causes us to go beyond and rise above what we see with the eye. Faith. Faith. Faith is not ignorant or oblivious to what's around us, but faith is not controlled by those things, and faith looks through those things and sees God. It's no wonder the apostles prayed, "Increase our faith." We need to be praying that all the time. Increase our faith. You see, it's faith that enables us, faith in Him, that enables us to rise above all the difficulties. Someone says, "Well, I have faith in the promises of God." Well, let me ask you something. What happens when you can't recall the promises of God? Because that does happen. Faith's not in the promise. Faith's in the promiser, the Lord. And it rises above all the inconveniences and all the circumstances and all the trials and all the obstacles. And these Hebrews were faced with all of these things. They needed faith. They were to have patience. They were to have endurance. That requires faith. Many times, you can't press on. You're worn out. You're drained. You can't go any further. But faith will always take that next step. It always does. And it's faith in Him. We don't have to know why. God in time may tell us why. But you don't have to know why to obey. You just know Him. You don't have to know what to obey. You just know Him. And you don't even have to know where. You just know Him. So hopefully, we can say with Paul, I know whom I have believed. It's not I know what I have believed, but it's I know whom I have believed. I know what I believe, and I thank God for what I believe, but it's whom that gets us through, not necessarily what. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able. That's faith. So again, there are people today, well, if I'm going to obey, I got to know why. No, you don't. I got to know what's going to happen. No, you don't. I got to know where. No, you don't. You have to know whom. Faith is in Him. Oh, that God would increase daily our faith. And you read the book of Exodus. It's probably the best example how quickly we can go from faith to unbelief. I mean, just like that. You can go from believing to complaining. From believing to unbelief. It can happen in an instant. But when it happens, we can't stay there. We've got to look up and see Him. Remember, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And we could all pray that. We could all make that request. We believe. But there's still an awful lot of unbelief. Help thou my unbelief. So again, we may not know why. We may not know what. We may not know where. But do we know whom? Because that's what makes all the difference in the world. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.